Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Golden Black Radio as we take a look at this week in Purdue Athletics. Here's your host, Kyle Charter. With the Big Ten announcing its relaunch last week and the release of the schedule Saturday, Purdue knows its opponents for 2020 again, hopefully for real this time. I'm Kyle Charters, Tom Deanhart here, Brian Newbert. Bye in just a couple of minutes. We'll talk about that and much more on Gold and Black Radio. All right, Tom, let's get into this. Is this, you know, the weekend of October 24th? Are we for real this time? We good to go?
I don't know. I'm afraid to open my curtains every morning to see what's waiting out there. Version number three of the Big Ten football schedules was released. Yeah, I'd like to think, Kyle, this is official, the last version we will see. We will actually get to the starting line of October 24th, I hope, like a lot of people. So, Kyle, I don't know about you, my friend, but at first glance and upon deeper dive, I think it's a pretty favorable schedule, don't you?
Yeah, I would agree with you. I think of the three versions, this one is the best one. October 24th, by the way, Tom, feels like both tomorrow and 100 years from now. I don't know why that is.
Yeah.
But Purdue will open against Iowa at home. Yeah, I mean, even you just look at those first four games for Purdue and compare them to what, you know, either it was in the initial schedule and certainly what it was in the very brief re-released schedule in August. That'll go down as a footnote in history, won't it?
Remember
this one seems like, yeah, this one seems like, you know, at least at the start, there's some games there that you can get off, you know, maybe even do a 3-1 start, which, you know, for Purdue under Jeff Brohm would be an improvement from what we have seen. Iowa at Illinois, at Wisconsin, certainly a challenge, though, you know, without fans will be a different experience in Madison as it will, you know, anywhere. And then Northwestern at home before what could be a big Western Division game at Minnesota at the halfway point of this all Big Ten schedule. What are your thoughts on what it looks like?
Yeah, a couple little quirks there, Kyle. Purdue goes to Wisconsin 2 years in a row, and Nebraska comes to Purdue 2 years in a row. I guess things that just had to be done to accommodate schedule balance throughout the league. I think every league team has nuance like that. I'm with you. You know, the opener, Iowa, you know, that's one program Jeff Brohm has really competed well with. You were in Iowa City in 2017, saw that great win up there. Purdue steals one at home in 2018 on that last-second field goal. And Purdue played them tough last year back in Kinnick, so you like Purdue's chances there. And honestly, Kyle, when I look at that schedule, there's only two games that you think, wow, these could be toughies, and that's, again, at Minnesota and at Wisconsin. But like you said, my friend, I mean, are we making too much of road games or where any these games are played this year? The fact there's no fans, is it really going to matter? These games could be played on the moon,
yeah.
Right? So maybe we're still making too – maybe I'm making too big of an issue on the location of games. It probably won't matter. But no doubt Minnesota and Wisconsin look to be the cream of the crop in the Big Ten West. And those are the two games, like I said, that go the longest for Purdue's dreams of maybe competing for the division title. But Kyle, the one game that maybe intrigues me the most is that visit from Nebraska.
Yeah, we can probably get into more of the home road stuff sometime as we get closer to the season. But there's so many intricacies to that I just don't know. I mean, so if you're a home dog, right? The lack of fans really hurts you. I mean, there's no doubt, right, in anyone's mind that for instance, and maybe it's the great example there is, the Purdue-Ohio State game, the Tyler Trent game. I mean, the atmosphere mattered so much. If that game's played with no fans, is the outcome the same? Maybe Purdue wins. It probably doesn't win by 30 or whatever the final of that game is. So, I'm you know, but then on the other hand, can you be an underdog and go on – the road and have a better chance, you know, yeah. Can you go to Wisconsin without the crazy students in Camp Randall and, you know, jump around in an empty stadium? That's a weird. There's a couple weird questions there, isn't there?
Oh yeah, but I think there's validity in what you're saying there. The juice, the momentum, the excitement, the energy that a team of 18 to 22 year olds could take and feed off of from their home crowd, it's undeniable. And like you said, that Ohio State game a couple of years ago was a perfect example. Again, you know, it's easy to compose yourself if things go sideways for you as an opponent in a visiting stadium. If fans aren't screaming at you, it's not deafening. So, yeah, I think there's something there. And they always say, as far as the odds makers go, right, home field is worth 3 points. So you wonder how lines and point spreads would be affected by this as well moving forward for those so inclined to make a wager here and there during the course of the season.
Yeah. So what do you think as you look at that? I mean, it seems to me that, you know, as you said, the two games there that are the ones that certainly you give the favor to the opponent, they are also on the road, but also, you know, probably teams that are, as you said right now, a little bit better poised to have better years, Wisconsin and Minnesota. But you feel like with that schedule, this could be a 5 or 6 win team. I mean, 6, things are going to have to go your way. You're going to have to beat Iowa at home, for instance. You're going to have to beat Indiana, which I think, you know, could be a challenging game at the end of the year. And I'm just talking about the 8 known games. Of course, that will be a 9th crossover game on December 19th. But what do you think about where Purdue can be?
5-3, 4-4 seems very doable to me. It was nice to get that home game with Rutgers and have the game at Michigan that was scheduled scrubbed.
Yeah.
I think a lot of us expected that to happen. To give schedule balance, home-road schedule balance to produce schedule. So, yeah, Rutgers' first ever trip to West Lafayette. Yeah, but, Kyle, again, getting back to what games will Purdue probably be the underdog in this year, how about just 3? Minnesota, Wisconsin, and maybe at Indiana. I mean, do you think Purdue could be favored or at least even odds in the other 5 games?
Iowa and Purdue in that opener.
What's the line going to be on that?
It does depend on how odds makers treat, quote, home games and home teams. You know, does Purdue get 3 points just for being in Ross, just for sleeping in their own bed that day? I don't know. For, you know, in an empty stadium.
Maybe they give a point or two. My point is, I mean, when you look at that schedule, and let's say Purdue's even an underdog in that game, it's probably going to be favored in just half their games. So
yeah.
4-4 to me, Kyle, given the questions that still loom over this Purdue team, expectations aren't great, my friend, but I think we all expect this team to at least maybe get to a bowl. And that was even the case back when we still had a 12-game schedule. I think 6-6, maybe 7-5.
Yeah.
So, again, I think that's still very doable and very well, you know, should be probably the expectation for this team.
Better than a few years ago when you were looking at the schedule and being like, who are they going to be favored against? IU. It's going to be it. So what's the schedule between now and then? What happens?
Well, Purdue, they were under a 12-hour-per-week practice limitation. That's been bumped up to 20. The team has been working out just in helmets and shorts, and that's going to continue. You know, we talked to Jeff Brohm last Wednesday after the announcement from the Big Ten, and he hinted that September 28th, he thought his team would be in shells for the first time. That's a week from today. And then September 30th was the day that he thought they'd be in full pads for the first time. Kyle, that's also the first day, according to the Big Ten, they will begin daily antigen testing. And that has to be done, I think, for anybody to be in full pads. So we're still over a week away from Purdue really playing football in a practice setting with pads on. And then, you know, that gives you less than a month, right, October 24th. And you'd think that'd be enough time to get your team ready. So that's sort of where Purdue sits right now and sort of what's on deck.
Some of these games will kick off on the 23rd. Is that right? And is there a possibility there will be Friday and Saturday games through the whole season?
I haven't seen that. Have some been scheduled for the 23rd already?
I don't know. I had heard that was a possibility, but then when the schedule came out, everything said October 24th, so I just didn't know.
Yeah, I'm sure, you know, Barry Alvarez mentioned that on the press conference, the Zoom call on Wednesday as well, that they're going to work with TV partners. They want to be, quote, flexible. And there was talk, even from Alvarez, of Friday and maybe Monday games. So I would suspect right now probably I think everything's slotted for a Saturday. But as we move forward, puzzle pieces will be shifting around, I'm sure. And, yeah, I wouldn't be shocked, my friend, if we see games on Mondays and Fridays. You know, this is all about TV, right? And you're going to do you're going to do what TV says. TV says jump. You say how high. TV says kick off at 8 o'clock Eastern time on Friday night. You kick off at 8 p.m. Eastern time on Friday night. So they'll make the call, and they want to maximize the value of their contract and what they're paying. So, yeah, expect some non-Saturday games for sure, I would think.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, both the networks want to get the full amount of value out of their contract. So you're going to play these games. It seems to me you're not going to, you know, as often as you can, you're not going to play these games all at the same time. It doesn't make, I mean, exactly. If you could play marquee games on a Monday or Friday or on a Saturday night, why would you not? And keep them separated from other games so you don't have overlap. I mean, it just seems like a no-brainer to do that. I mean, you've got to play a marquee game on a Friday night or a Monday night or both every week.
Don't get caught in that sea of Saturday games, right? That kick off all afternoon and things get lost in the shuffle, and you can pluck a couple of your better games, like you said, put them at prime time on a Friday or a Monday. And you know, the thing about this too, Kyle, is the fact there's not really going to be any fans in the stands. You know, before on those odd kickoff days, they never gave home games to Ohio State or Michigan or Nebraska because they didn't want to disrupt their traditional Saturday. But it's not going to matter this year, right? I mean, they could even schedule an Ohio State home game for one of those Fridays or Monday nights too. So I'm sure the Big Ten people already have some, or the TV people already have some plans sketched out as to what games they'd like to move around.
All right, one final question for you, Tom. Handicap the chance that Rondale Moore suits up once again for Purdue.
I think it's remote at this point. That's just a guess on my part. I guess I wonder, what's he waiting for? I mean, we've seen the Ohio State guy, Sean Wade, Wyatt Davis come back. Rashad Bateman's re-enrolled trying to get his eligibility restored. You've seen Pat Freiermuth, the Penn State tight end, come back. And Rashawn Slade, the Northwestern OT, said he's staying in the draft. What have we heard from Rondale Moore so far? Nada. So I don't. I guess that could still be a good thing too. But I guess if he was coming back, why not profess that now openly? But I guess because of that, maybe I'm still a little leery if we're going to get number four back.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, I hear what you're saying, but I also know that he's not a very talkative guy. So, you know, it would be unlike him to like call a press conference. You know what I mean?
Well, you know what?
to tell everybody.
How about a 2-word tweet that says "I'm back"? How about that?
Yeah. If I was Jeff Brohm, I would promise him. I know this. I would promise him a lot. I would tell him, no contact practices. Heck, you can live in Louisville and come up here on Tuesdays and Wednesdays and Saturdays. I'm serious.
I hear you. I know you. I say, Rondale, I say, take your time making your decision. You know, if you want to show up an hour before the Iowa game, show up an hour before the Iowa game. You know, as we know, this is a transcendent player. And let's admit, life's not fair. Special people get special treatment. He's certainly a special player. And you're going to do all you can to acquiesce Rondale and try to talk him back in the fold because, Kyle, everybody's plays work a lot better when you got Rondale Moore in your offense.
Live in Louisville, take your online classes. Tuesdays and Wednesdays in West Lafayette, red penny on, non-contact. Go back home for a couple of days. Come back Saturday morning and play. That's my plan.
I got you.
All right, man. It's nice to be actually talking about football again. Sort of.
Yeah, it's football. That's great. I hear you, my friends. Always good talking. Take care, Kyle.
All right. Thanks, Tom. All right, let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll bring Brian in. We'll get his thoughts sort of on how the Big Ten got here. Did it ultimately get it right, even if the path was messed up? We'll talk a little bit about basketball, too. The news that got buried a bit last week with the hard start for the season. Do that coming up next on Golden Black Radio.
Your neighborhood bar, 6th Street Dive Bar and Grill, is a perfect must-stop location on your way to and from the game at the corner of 6th and Salem in Lafayette. Whether it be great food, authentic Tex-Mex, along with many Indiana favorites, served from 11 a.m. to 3 a.m. every day. Sports, games, live music, trivia, or just fellow Boilermaker camaraderie, the Dive is the place to go. Don't miss Geeks Who Drink Trivia at 7:30 Tuesday nights and live local music without a cover charge at 10 o'clock Fridays and Saturdays. If it's college sports you crave, the 6th Street Dive has you covered there too with its multiple big screens. So dive on in to the 6th Street Dive at the corner of 6th and Salem in Lafayette.
Golden Black Radio is brought to you by Home Field Apparel. Home Field makes premium collegiate apparel with vintage Purdue designs with incredibly soft and comfortable clothing printed and owned in Indianapolis. That's homefieldapparel.com for your premium Purdue apparel with vintage designs, including goldandblack.com designs as well. That's at homefieldapparel.com. Check it out today.
Often, things are worth more than they seem. For Purdue grad and NASA astronaut Jerry Ross, incredible value was found in the Purdue Alumni Visa, not just because of the exclusive Purdue card designs, but for the unlimited cash back and out-of-this-world Visa benefits. Discover the official Purdue Alumni Visa credit card. Apply today at PurdueFed.com. Purdue Federal Credit Union. Belong where you have worth. Federally insured by NCUA.
Welcome to Golden Black Radio as we take a look at this week in Purdue athletics.
Hey, Kyle here with Brian talking a little bit football. We'll hit on basketball as well, but let's start with, I guess, the bigger news last week, and that's the resumption of Big Ten football. Brian, my question is, did the conference ultimately get this right, even though the path to get there was all messed up?
Well, in context, they got it right, but the context is important because – they got it right against the backdrop of them getting it wrong in the first place. You know, I mean, as we talked about ad nauseum for three straight weeks, they felt to me at least like they rushed to a decision. You know, they could have, you know, taken some time with things to, at the very least, try to build some consensus behind the scenes. They could have continued to push back the start of the season. They could have said on August 11th, hey, we're pushing back to the end of October. We'll see if we can do it or not, but we're going to do everything in our power to play football this season. They didn't. They just came out with a quick, seemingly hasty, seemingly panicky announcement that we are postponing the season till the, you know, presumably then until the spring. It took a lot of its stakeholders by surprise. It triggered an absolute mutiny behind the scenes in the Big Ten, and it was bad for the conference. The conference has to heal now. I mean, this has been a disastrous last month or so. You know, behind the scenes, in the public eye, all over the place. This was not good for the Big Ten, but it is good for the Big Ten that they figured it out, that they righted, you know, they quote unquote righted a wrong, that they did so in a responsible, ethical, and safe manner. That too often got lost in all of this, amidst all the outrage about the Big Ten not having a season. Nobody ever talked about why they weren't having a season and the importance of the Big Ten being able to do this in what seems like a pretty safe and responsible manner. Again, though, had they just chilled out up front, had they just taken a little bit of time here, you might have gotten some news about this rapid response testing, which was the biggest part of the puzzle, and you might have been able to work it out then instead of just burning the whole thing down and then having to build it back up. But it is really good for the Big Ten. They're going to have a season. They're going to have a season within the traditional season window. And everybody but Nebraska should be happy.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, I mean, you said it. Just to echo what you said, that the Big Ten could have, and we've said this before, could have just hit pause just on August 12th, just said, hey, we've got some questions we have to figure out and we need answers to. So we're putting a pause on, continue to practice 20 hours or 12 hours or whatever a week. No contact. We're going to get these things figured out, and we're, you know, reconvene and make a decision. We'd be at the exact same spot we were now, most likely, without all the turmoil between then and now, and sort of that just panic that you felt a month ago. All right, let's move on a little bit of basketball.
The issue there was that.
Go ahead.
the issue there was that, you know, coaches, players, and everybody wanted answers. But as I've said here before,
yeah,
the important part of that is having the right answer, you know? And they just needed to decompress. They just needed to come up with a good answer at that time.
All right, let's flip over to basketball. Somewhat lost in all the football news last week was the hard start for the basketball season of the day before Thanksgiving, November 25th. I guess your thoughts on that. Do you think, I guess obviously that takes out the first 3 weeks of what would have been the start of the season. It also, you know, causes teams to have to reshuffle their schedules here. What do you think that ultimately turns out to look like? I mean, these will be conference heavy schedules, I would imagine, with a few non-conference games sprinkled in. What do you think it looks like once we get to basketball season?
Yeah, I'd be very surprised if the Big Ten played a conference-only schedule. I think at one point in time, maybe when they didn't know what this was going to look like, I think a 26-game full-round robin might have been on the table. But I think what the expectation I would have, at least, is it's probably going to be a traditional 20-game Big Ten season plus six or seven non-conference games for everybody in the Big Ten. The NCAA wants people playing non-conference because they want they don't necessarily want the major conferences kind of monopolizing everything. They want everybody involved. The NCAA in basketball is much more all-encompassing than it is in football. The Big Ten, I think it's important. It's more important from a postseason perspective, a postseason selection qualification perspective in basketball than it is in football to play good people out of conference. So I think you're going to want the Big Ten ACC Challenge. You're going to want the Gavitt Games. You're going to want your preseason tournament protected the best you can. Some of that stuff is not going to be reasonable because you have lost a big chunk out of your schedule, and you can only probably go so many places because the standards for having major events are going to be different all over the place. I'd be surprised if Purdue went to Brooklyn to play West Virginia, for example. But that doesn't mean Purdue can't get a half a dozen good games on its schedule. Coaches are going to want non-conference play, because of the postseason part of it, because of the team development part of it, because nobody wants to play 26 Big Ten games, go 500 and not make the NCAA tournament because you are playing an absolute meat grinder of a schedule. And there would be very little differentiation between you and everybody else in the middle of the pack there because you didn't necessarily play anybody out of conference. So that would be my expectation here, that it would be 20 Big Ten games after a shortened non-conference season, and then the Big Ten tournament, and then the NCAA tournament. And that would end up being not all that, you know, all that different from a regular season. It would cost you a couple games, it would cost you a couple weeks, but it would be a pretty complete season. Now the scramble is in figuring out who you're going to play in non-conference because basically all of the schedules now have gotten torn up.
Yeah. Is there less? So I guess who do you feel like will be? I mean, you'll play the preseason tournament, you'll play the Big Ten, ACC, you'll play the Gavitt Games. What else? I mean, that fills up five of the spots. Who else does Purdue play?
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Any idea?
I don't know about the Cancun Challenge. I don't know if, you know, we'll have to see if that event takes place. They're planning on it taking place. We'll have to see, you know, if it stays in its current form. It could go from a two-game event to a three-game event. If it goes to a three-game event, then that's like half your non-conference schedule right there. Purdue would have to make a decision whether they want to do that. You know, there's always the possibility that you could strike an agreement. Illinois State maybe just gets on a bus and comes to Purdue instead of going to Florida to play a team that's an hour and a half from your campus or 2 hours from your campus, whatever it may be. I think all these parts are moving. I think, you know, I think the Big Ten ACC Challenge would be a priority. I would think the Gavitt Games would be a priority because those are conference-wide things. Those are marquee events. Those are significant TV properties. Outside of that, I don't know about the Crossroads Classic. I don't know about West Virginia. It's conceivable, I guess, that, you know, West Virginia could come to Purdue or Purdue could go to West Virginia, one of those two things. I have no idea. I don't know necessarily if those discussions are even taking place. For all I know, that could just get kicked down the road onto a future schedule because you have two high major programs here with very, very little wiggle room in their schedules. The thing that has to happen first is the Big Ten has to set its schedule first, and then all of the non-conference stuff can kind of fall into place. I would not imagine Purdue would be in any hurry to go participate in somebody else's bubble. I don't think they're going to try to get into Louisville's bubble or Duke's bubble or something like that. If anything, Purdue would be the sort of program that would host its own bubble. I don't have any reason to think that that's something they're working toward, but that's kind of where we are with things. The season starts November 25th. It's almost September 25th, and people are trying to organize bubbles on their college campuses. So it's basically starting from scratch here. I would think the Big Ten ACC Challenge and the Gavitt games are absolutely positively protected in all of this.
It'll be interesting to see how it all ultimately does come together. Thanks, Brian.
No problem.
All right, let's take a break. We'll come back, put a wrap on this podcast. We'll do that coming up next on Golden Black Radio.
It's time to boiler up and join the Bronze Squad by gearing up with the best selection of Purdue apparel in stock only at Follett's. Visit the Black and Gold Mine store across from Mackey or Follett's Purdue West on State Street for the best game day apparel from Nike, Columbia, Champion, Cutter and Buck, and more. Shop Follett's late on game day weekends. Follett's has been your Purdue game day stop since 1945. If you can't make it to the game, shop online at FollettsPurdue.com.
On the far end of Main Street in downtown Lafayette, you'll find East End Grill, Industrial and Classic. The restaurant is built like a steakhouse, but handles like a bistro. East End Grill's menu includes creative starters, simple chopped salads, burgers, fresh fish and steaks, and the signature shrimp and grits. The staff prepares every item from scratch and emphasizes simple meals that incorporate fresh fish, local, and seasonal ingredients. The warm and inviting dining room features a cozy bar that includes a great selection of craft beer-inspired cocktails and a robust and expanding wine list. Whatever your entertainment needs are, a cocktail at the bar, dinner with family, or a special event in the private dining room, the energized and attentive staff is here for you. East End Grill in downtown Lafayette, welcome to our table. The podcast is brought to you in part by JFQ Lending. With interest rates below 3%, there has never been a better time to lock in a low fixed interest rate on your mortgage. You'll never need to think about refinancing again. Set it and forget it. And with JFQ Lending, you are guaranteed to get the highest level of customer service. They have an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau and more than 3,000 five-star reviews. Give Kyler Compliment a call today at 323-607-8802 or email Kyler directly at kcompliment, K-K-O-P-P-E-L-M-A-N, at jfqlending.com. JFQ Lending Incorporated, Equal Access Lender, licensed in more than 40 states, www.jfqlending.com. The Charter Esteemed RE/MAX Ability Plus is your experienced real estate group in Greater Lafayette. If you're looking to list, buy, sell, upsize, downsize, anything else, give me a call or text 765-412-5217. You can email me at kyle@chartersteam.com.
Welcome to Golden Black Radio as we take a look at this week in Purdue Athletics.
Much more on the site, including breakdowns of Purdue's latest version of its football schedule. Be sure to check that out, goldandblack.com. All right, that'll do it for our show for this week. Thanks to our sponsors, Follett's, the 6th Street Dive, Purdue Federal Credit Union, Charter's team at RE/MAX Ability Plus, the East End Grill, JFQ Lending, along with Homefield Apparel. All right, we'll be back again 10 o'clock next Monday for our next drop. Be sure to listen to that and however you like to listen to your podcast. For Tom Dienhardt and Brian Dubert, I'm Kyle Charters. Thanks for listening. This is Golden Black Radio.